Volume 46, Number 11, The Friend Magazine, for November 2016. Contents. Conference is for me. A conference message from the Prophet. Conference news. Conference notes. Show and tell. Conference. Stories and features. The Reverence Solution. Family Night Fun. Pie Crust Cabins. The Great Family History Mystery. Friends Who Stand Tall, Never Give Up. Abish and Abby. Question Corner. First Things First. Answers from an Apostle, Elder Ronald A. Rasband. Book of Mormon Hero, Mormon Remembered. I Can Read the Book of Mormon. Faithful Friends. Matt and Mandy. Stop and Flip. Music. Reverence is Love. For older kids, Parker's Big Problem. It's Good to Be Me. Things to Make and Do. Fun Stuff, Hidden Picture. Fun Stuff, Scripture Hero Search. You Are Super. Happy Sabbath. Ready, Set, Share Aids. Fun Stuff, Puzzle Time. Friend Junior, for parents of little ones. Bright Idea. Big Sister Madeline. Little or Big. Book of Mormon Stories. Mormon Rites on the Golden Plates. Coloring Page. Henry and the Corn Maze. End of Contents. Read by Kristen Hawkins.
Friends by Mail. How I Read the Friend. We like to read the friend while waiting for sacrament meeting to start and during the sacrament. This helps us be reverent while we think of Jesus and feel the Spirit. The stories help us think of how we can be like Jesus. Rachel, Nicole, Michelle, Paul, Sammy, and Peter W., ages 11, 10, 7, 5, 3, and 1, Kansas, USA.
Pesos for Heavenly Father. The story Pesos for Heavenly Father, April 2016, taught me that if you keep the commandments and have faith in Heavenly Father, He will bless you. Ashlyn P., age 8, Dhaka Division, Bangladesh.
Stained glass picture. We made our own stained glass picture, July 2015. After we painted the bright colors and excitedly pulled off the tape, we decided it looked like a city. We got out our cars and played with our new city. Evan, Zion, Taryn, Haven, and Graydon P., ages 10, 8, 6, 4, and 2, Arizona, USA.
Warm and Fuzzy. I love to read the friend to see what is new. Not only is it fun, but also it makes me feel warm and fuzzy inside. Aubrey W., age 10, North Carolina, USA.
Dear friends, one of our favorite things is reading the letters children send us from all over the world. We often notice how kind children are to their family, friends, and neighbors, and even to people they don't know. Turn to page 24 to find out how you can be super kind. It's a great superpower to have. Kindly, the friend. P.S. Write and tell us how you show kindness. Was there a story or activity this month that helped you? Tell us about it. Turn to page 39 to find out how. End of the article, Friends by Mail. Read by Miles McClellan and Enzo, Chloe, and Margot Patello.
A conference message from the Prophet. Your Path to Happiness by President Thomas S. Monson. Heavenly Father's plan is the one perfect path to peace and happiness. Steps on the path. Believe in Jesus Christ. Work and learn. Search and pray. Repent and improve. Know God's laws and live them. receive His saving ordinances. By doing these things, we will have true happiness. My brothers and sisters, I leave with you my love and blessing. Know, share, live. We are blessed to know the truth. We must also share the truth. Let us live the truth. Adapted from The Perfect Path to Happiness from the October 2016 General Conference. End of the article, A Conference Message from the Prophet, Your Path to Happiness, by President Thomas S. Monson. Read by David Shaw.
Conference Quotes. President Henry B. Eyring, first counselor in the first presidency, said, "The Sabbath is a day of gratitude and love." President Russell M. Nelson of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles said, "Every time we forgive someone or ask for forgiveness, we can feel joy." Sister Carol F. McConkie, first counselor in the Young Women General Presidency, said, "Prayer is a gift from God. We need never feel lost or alone." Elder Peter F. Muirs of the 70s said, "The reverent moments as priesthood holders pass the sacrament can become sacred to us." They sang our songs. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir and others sang some of our favorite primary songs. "If I Listen with My Heart," "I Am a Child of God," "My Heavenly Father Loves Me," "Baptism," "Called to Serve," "I'll Follow Him in Faith." You can listen to these songs at lds.org/general-conference/music. Book of Mormon Quiz. When was it first published? How many copies have been printed? How many languages has it been translated into? What part of an arch is it like? How often does it talk about Jesus Christ? Elder Stevenson challenged us to read it for how many minutes every day? Find answers in Elder Gary E. Stevenson's talk, "Look to the Book, Look to the Lord." End of conference quotes. Read by Dwayne Case.
Conference Notes. Fourth Floor, Last Door. President Uchtdorf talked about two missionaries in Germany who were knocking on doors looking for someone to teach. They got all the way up to the top floor and the last door of an apartment building before they met someone who would listen to their message. That family got baptized. One of the daughters was named Harriet, and when she grew up, she married President Uchtdorf. President Uchtdorf said he is very grateful that those missionaries didn't give up. When we seek the Lord, we shouldn't give up either. Write down what this teaches you.
Joyful Repentance. Elder Renlund and his family lived in Sweden when he was 12. One Sunday, another deacon brought a firecracker and matches to the church building. Before others arrived, Elder Renlund lit the firecracker. He tried to put it out, but it exploded and filled the chapel with fumes. Nothing was damaged, but the smell distracted everyone in sacrament meeting. Elder Renlund felt so bad that he decided not to take the sacrament. After church, he confessed what he had done to his branch president. Elder Renlund felt joy and happiness when he repented and knew he was forgiven. Write down what this teaches you.
Golden Blessings. Sister Bingham told the story of a girl who saw a home with shining golden windows. Her own home seemed shabby in comparison. One day, the girl rode her bike across the valley to visit the house. When she got closer, she saw it was abandoned and falling apart. When she turned around, she was surprised to see a house with golden windows across the valley. It was her own house. The sun on the windows made the difference. When we count our blessings instead of comparing ourselves with others, we'll see the goodness of God in our lives. Write down what this teaches you.
Believe in yourself. Elder Cornish told about a time he was very tired and discouraged while learning to be a doctor. He started crying and wondered if he could ever be a good doctor. Just then, one of the senior doctors asked how he was doing. Elder Cornish told him how he was feeling. The doctor said that he was proud of him and believed he would be an excellent doctor one day. The doctor believed in him, even when Elder Cornish didn't believe in himself. Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ always believe in us and don't want us to give up. Write down what this teaches you. End of the article, Conference Notes, read by Kristen Hawkins, Dwayne Case, and David Shaw. Meet Elder Ronald A. Rasband. He was born February 6, 1951. When he was young, his mother and father taught him to work hard. He learned to love the scriptures when he was in primary. His teachers often asked him to read because he had a good reading voice. He served a mission in the eastern United States. Years later, he was called to be a mission president in New York, USA. He met his wife, Melanie Twitchell, in college. They have 5 children. He was called to be an apostle in October 2015. What is an apostle? When Jesus was on the earth, he called 12 men to be his special helpers and witnesses. They were called apostles. He has called apostles to be his special helpers and witnesses today. They testify of Jesus Christ to the whole world. Elder Rasband is an apostle. End of the article, Meet Elder Ronald A. Rasband. Read by David Shaw.
Show and Tell Conference. I liked the talk by President Eyring because it reminded me that we needed to show love on the Sabbath. We should be grateful that we can go to church because many people cannot come to church and renew their covenants. When we take the sacrament, we remember that Jesus suffered for us. Yoslin L., age 11, Washington, D.C., USA.
I made this conference model. God chose the prophet to lead us. I love General Conference and know that if we follow the prophet, we can hear the Lord. Ashton A., age 6, North Dakota, USA.
Omar N., age 5, Baja California, Mexico, traveled to the conference center to watch conference. His favorite part was seeing the prophet in real life.
Emmett, Sarah, and Claudia K., ages 3, 11, and 6, Illinois, USA, made sugar cookies and painted them while listening to the talks.
Maria M., age 11, from Rio Grande do Norte, Brazil, said, "My favorite talk was Sister McConkie's because she spoke about a very important and beautiful topic, the atonement of Jesus Christ. Jesus prayed to the Father and then bled from every pore to free us from our sins. Through his atonement, we can all be blessed and saved."
I will listen to General Conference and follow the prophet and apostles. Gunner J., age 9, Utah, USA.
Just like Cain and Benjamin's people, Isabella and Colin S., ages 5 and 2, Colorado, USA, faced their tent door toward the prophet to hear his words during conference.
Kelsey, Mason, Eliza, and Jaron P., ages 7, 12, 9, and 14, Idaho, USA, make cereal necklaces while they watch conference. This picture was taken while they were visiting their grandparents, who were serving a mission on Temple Square.
I like the story about Mary Elizabeth Rollins, who wanted to read the Book of Mormon. Elder Stevenson said the story reminds him that you are never too young to gain a testimony of the Book of Mormon, which means I can too. Esme F., age 11, Massachusetts, USA.
I liked Elder Hale's talk. If we help others, our Heavenly Father will be happy with us. I want to continue helping my mom. Julian M., age 5, Santiago, Chile.
While watching conference, Emily S., age 9, Missouri, USA, built the St. Louis Temple using beads.
Other contributors to show and tell. Brinley B., age 10, Washington, USA. Taranaki F., age 9, Colorado, USA. Daniel R., age 9, Nevada, USA. End of the article, Show and Tell Conference, read by Miles and Daniel McClellan and Enzo, Chloe, and Margot Patello.
An Origami Answer by Rochelle Austin, based on a true story. How could Jaden help the other kids be reverent? Be gentle and loving in deed and in thought, for these are the things that Jesus taught. Children's Songbook, page 78.
Give it back! No, it's mine!
The kids sitting alone behind Jaden had been pretty quiet during the sacrament, but now they kept distracting him.
Mom, will you make them stop?
Jaden whispered. Mom turned and smiled at the kids. Then she looked around the chapel. I think their parents are our speakers today, she whispered back. Mom and Jaden were visiting, so they knew hardly anyone in the ward. Jaden looked at the mom and dad sitting on the stand. They looked a little embarrassed. The kids were still fighting behind him.
No, Mom gave it to me. It's mine.
No, it's not. It's mine. Give it back.
Jaden couldn't concentrate. How would he ever hear the talks? Then he remembered it was sometimes easier to listen when his hands stayed busy. Sometimes he drew pictures of what the speakers were talking about. 2 years ago, Dad had taught him to fold colorful square papers into Japanese origami. Now he could make lots of things, like animals and fancy boxes, without even looking at instructions. Jaden took a bright red piece of paper from his scripture bag and carefully folded it in half. But before he could continue, he heard more fighting behind him. He looked at Mom. She glanced back at the kids. Jaden's forehead wrinkled as he thought about what to do. Couldn't think of anything. Then Mom leaned over and whispered something in Jaden's ear. His eyes widened with surprise. Jaden looked back at the arguing kids. He didn't even know them. He felt butterflies fill his stomach. Would Mom's idea actually work? He grabbed some extra paper, then he took a deep breath and went to work. His fingers moved quickly to fold the bright colors. Soon he had turned the flat pieces of paper into a colorful flapping bird and a jumping bunny. He turned around and shyly handed the bunny to the boy and the bird to the girl. Their eyes got big as they stared at their new treasures.
Cool,
the boy whispered.
Thanks,
said the girl. The fighting ended as quickly as it had started. Jaden's mom turned and smiled at him. The kids played happily and quietly with their origami for the rest of the meeting. Your talent made all the difference, Mom said as they left the chapel. You used your hands to serve someone. That's one reason God gives us all talents. Jaden looked over and saw the kids showing the origami animals to their parents. He was glad he'd helped. He grinned.
I wonder what else I can do with my talents.
The author lives in Arizona, USA. Turn the page for an activity to go with the story. The most important part of sacrament meeting is the sacrament. It's a time to put away toys, books, and other things and quietly think about Jesus. Here's a scripture bookmark to help you remember why the sacrament is so important. I renew my baptismal covenants each week when I take the sacrament. T, take his name upon me. A, always remember him. K, keep his commandments. E, endure to the end.
Family Night Fun. Choose to be Reverent by Todd Huiskin. Read the Reverent Solution on page 4. Make this original CTR shield to remember to choose to be reverent during sacrament meeting. Fold a square piece of paper in half and lightly crease at the top and bottom. Open the paper flat again. Fold the top point up about halfway. Tape the back to keep the shield flat, then flip it over and decorate it. Listen and learn. When we listen and learn in sacrament meeting, we can become a little better each week. Here are some ideas. Take a notebook or journal to sacrament meeting. Listen carefully to what the speakers say. When something stands out, write down how you feel about it. Decide one thing to do during the week because of what you have learned. Tasty treats. Try this for FHE this month. Mix 2 cups pecans, 1/3 cup maple syrup, 1.5 teaspoon cinnamon, and 1/2 teaspoon salt in a pan. Cook over medium heat until thickened. Spread on waxed paper to cool. Cut 4 large pears in half. Drizzle with 1/3 cup honey mixed with 2 tablespoons lemon juice. Broil for 6 to 8 minutes. Make mini sandwiches with dinner rolls, ham or turkey, and cheese. More FHE ideas. Look for these pictures in the magazine to find the stories and articles they go with. Find the page numbers below. Idea 1. Have everyone in your family take the quiz. It's good to be me. Draw pictures of your answers, like in the examples. Which pictures are the same in your family? Which are different? Idea 2. Make and decorate tithing jars. Read First Things First and talk together about how your family pays tithing. Maybe fill out a tithing slip together. Idea 3. Who are your family's heroes? Why are they heroes? Read, You are super. What superpowers can your family practice? You could wear capes for this lesson. End of this month's Family Night Fun. Read by Dwayne Case.
Pie Crust Cabins by Sarah V. Olds, based on a true story. This tradition was Robin's favorite part of Thanksgiving. For health and strength and daily food, we praise thy name, O Lord. Children's Songbook, page 21. Robin watched as Dad measured flour, salt, and shortening into a bowl. After adding a little water, he started stirring the dough together.
Can I help?
Robin asked.
I want to make sure we make enough logs to make a huge house this year.
Sure, you can help,
Dad said.
But it doesn't matter who builds the biggest house. We make log cabins to help us remember the blessings we have.
Robin's eyebrows pinched together as she watched.
But you always tell us about the amazing house you and Mom built the first year you were married.
Dad looked over at Mom and smiled.
There's never been one like it since.
As he started rolling out the dough, he said,
As fun as our little crust cabins are, do you remember why we make them?
Robin nodded.
But tell me again.
A very long time ago,
Mom began.
Long before even Grandma and Grandpa were born, there was a young family. They lived on a farm. It wasn't an easy life. They had to work very hard. One year, their daddy had to go away and find work so they'd have money to buy food. He left his wife and 3 daughters all by themselves.
My great-grandma was one of the daughters, wasn't she?
Mom nodded.
That's right.
Robin inched around the table so she could see Dad better. He cut the dough into thin strips and put them on a cookie sheet. Then he slid them into the oven. Mom went on with the story.
Well, Thanksgiving came, and there was hardly anything to eat. Your great-great-grandmother felt sorry for her sweet little girls, but she had an idea. She took
flour
and salt
and shortening,
said Mom with a nod.
She made pie crust. Then she cut it into long strips. And then she took some cream from their cow and whipped it up. On Thanksgiving morning, she and the girls used the pie crust and cream to make small log cabins.
Dad came over and leaned on the counter.
And we make our log cabins every year to remind us of the many blessings Heavenly Father has given us.
And because it's fun.
Mom and Dad laughed.
Yes, it is.
Dad checked the pie crust.
The white strips he'd put in the oven had turned a beautiful golden color.
Done!
He slid the pie crust logs onto a rack to cool. Robin sniffed the freshly baked pie crust logs. They smelled warm and delicious. Later that day, Robin's cousins came over. Mom brought out a large plate piled high with logs ready to use. She put the plate next to a bowl of whipped cream. All the children hurried to the table.
Wait! Before you begin, who can remember the story of the log cabins?
Robin felt happy inside as one of her cousins started telling the story. They had a house and plenty of food. She was glad they had a special way to celebrate all the blessings Heavenly Father had given them. The author lives in Oregon, USA.
Sidebar. My little brother drew a picture of us holding hands. He wrote, "I love you, Kate." I taped it to my door. Soon, he made another picture for my door. On Thanksgiving, I was wondering what I was most thankful for when I saw my door with the pictures on it. I'm thankful for my siblings, I thought, especially Henry. K.L., age 9, Utah, USA.
End of the story, Pie Crust Cabins, by Sarah V. Olds, based on a true story. Read by Kate Strongen, Kristen Hawkins, Amelie Strongen, and Wes Nelson.
Hidden picture.
Fun stuff, hidden picture. This pioneer family is glad to have a newly built log cabin. Can you find the hidden objects? Bonus challenge. Draw your own log cabin. What would you build it out of? Maybe pie crust. Look for these objects. Glasses, thread, flashlight, a hockey stick, a comb, a flag, a ring, a spatula, golf club, a bracelet, a spoon, a coin, a skirt, a leaf, and bread. And a fun stuff hidden picture. Read by Shannon Nelson.
The Great Family History Mystery by Marinda Bush and Eric Murdoch, based on a true story. Family history, I am doing it, my family history. And the love I feel when I'm doing it is very sweet to me. Children's Songbook, page 94. My family had an amazing mystery adventure in a cemetery. We felt like explorers or detectives. We followed a map, looked for clues, and made it through lots of obstacles. The mystery started when Grandma found a list of family members who were buried in a family cemetery. She wondered why her own grandpa wasn't on the list. Grandma knew he was buried there, but she had never visited the cemetery before because she lived far away. "I wish we could help, Grandma," I said during dinner. I felt sad that Grandma couldn't find out about her grandpa. "I do too," Dad said. "Maybe we can find a trip to the cemetery and find her grandpa's headstone." I was excited to solve the mystery. My little brothers, Joseph, Hiram, and Daniel, were excited too. First, we had to drive a long way and do some detective work before we even found the cemetery. We stopped to ask a man if he knew where it was. Guess what? It was hidden down a road on his farm. The cemetery was in the middle of a muddy field. It was surrounded by a cinder block wall and covered with overgrown plants. We had to cut through vines just to open the gate. It was like a jungle inside. Big trees filled the cemetery and thorny vines wrapped around the headstones. We had to clear them off to read the names. "Who is Miranda Ann Thomas Humphrey?" I asked, pulling plants off a headstone. Dad ran over. "She's your great-great-great-grandmother," he said. "Hopefully your great-great-grandpa's headstone is nearby." We looked and looked for his headstone, but couldn't find it anywhere. Mom and Dad cut and cleared vines. My brother and I cleaned off dirt, bugs, and spider webs. It was gross. Some headstones had tipped over because tree roots grew under them. They were heavy, but we worked together to lift them up again. We worked hard all day. When the sun was going down, Dad said it was time to go. "I don't think we're going to find it today," he said. He sounded pretty disappointed. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to find the headstone for Grandma. "Let's say a prayer," I said. "That's a great idea. Heavenly Father can help us find it," said Mom. We said a prayer and looked one last time. Dad found a long wire and used it to poke the ground. Suddenly, the wire hit something solid. "Maybe a headstone?" "I think I found something," I said.
We knelt down and cleared away vines and weeds. Under a thin layer of dirt, we found a headstone. The name on it was Rodolph Jackson Humphrey. "Dad, do you know who this is?" I asked. When I looked at Dad, he had tears in his eyes. "This is exactly what we were searching for. It's your great-great-grandpa's headstone," he said. "Yay!" we all shouted. I gave my brothers high fives. "I knew he'd find it. We just needed a little help," I said. Mom smiled. "That's what prayer is for." It was tricky and fun searching through the cemetery. We had to overcome walls, mud, thorns, and vines. But it was all worth it to get to know more about my great-great-grandpa. I know that the Holy Ghost helped us and that Heavenly Father answered our prayer. And the best feeling of all was hearing Grandma cheer when we told her all about it. The authors live in Ankara, Turkey, and Utah, USA.
Sidebar: what matters most is what lasts longest, and our families are for eternity. Elder M. Russell Ballard of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. What matters most is what lasts longest. Ensign, November 2005, page 44.
End of the story, The Great Family History Mystery, read by Wes and Ethan Nelson.
Friends Who Stand Tall, Never Give Up, from an interview by Amy Jane Levitt.
Hi, I'm Dax. I live on a farm, and a few years ago, I was in a scary accident. But with Heavenly Father's help, here's how I stayed strong.
Scary accident.
One day, my family was herding cows. Suddenly, my horse stopped. I fell forward and landed hard on the ground. I don't remember anything after that. My dad carefully picked me up and took me on his horse to where a truck could meet us.
Strength and faith.
I rode in a helicopter to a children's hospital. Before we left, I got a priesthood blessing from a doctor who was a member of the church. He said that I would have strength to get well and faith to overcome my challenges.
The long road.
I stayed in the hospital for more than a month. My brain was injured, and I had to relearn how to do just about everything. Walk, talk, and even swallow. But I didn't give up. I'm a hard worker, and I wouldn't quit no matter what. I had another priesthood blessing in the hospital. It said the same things about strength and faith. I knew that those words came from Heavenly Father. I would get better.
Trying again.
When I first got home, I couldn't do chores on the farm. I couldn't ride a bike, throw a baseball, or even use my right arm. But I kept working and practicing every day. Now I can do all those things and more. I feed the dogs, water the horses, and move sprinkler pipes to water our crops. It might take me a little bit longer to do things now, but I still get it done.
Stand tall.
Keep trying and never quit. Show gratitude for your blessings. Thank the people who help you.
Thanks for your footprints. Look for a fun video about them next month. Thanks for standing tall. End of the article, Friends Who Stand Tall, Never Give Up, read by Kara and Miles McClellan.
Abish and Abby, by Lana Crumwide, based on a true story. Abish was a woman in the Americas long ago. She learned about Jesus Christ from her father. Abish lived with Lamanites, who didn't know about Jesus. One day, Ammon came to serve in King Lamoni's house. The king was impressed with Ammon and listened to him teach about Jesus. He felt the Spirit so strongly that he fainted. After 3 days, Lamoni woke up. When he spoke about Jesus, the people were amazed. King, queen, and Ammon were overpowered with joy and fainted again. Some felt the Spirit so strongly that they fainted too. Abish knew this was God's work. Abish knew that this was the time to share her testimony. The king and the others also woke up. Abish listened. As King Lamoni taught about Jesus Christ, she felt the joy of sharing the gospel. Abby is a girl in the latter days. She learned about Jesus Christ from her parents. Abby's neighbors didn't know about Jesus Christ Church. One day, Abby's brother got called as a missionary. He was going far away to teach people about Jesus. Abby told her neighbors about her brother's mission call. When they heard her brother was going so far away, they were amazed. They asked what missionaries teach. Abby's family knew that this was the time to share the gospel. Abby and her mother invited their neighbors to meet the missionaries who could answer their questions. Some of Abby's neighbors decided to meet the missionaries. Abby listened as the missionaries taught about Jesus Christ. She felt the joy of sharing the gospel. End of the story, Abish and Abby, read by Amelie Strongen.
I Can Play It. Reverence is Love. Words and music by Maggie Lawson.
Reverence is more than just quietly sitting. It's thinking of Father above. A feeling I get when I think of his blessings. I'm reverent, for reverence is love. When I'm reverent, it shows in
video for this song at children.lds.org. Click on videos. End of the section, I Can Play It, read by Margot Patello.
Question Corner. Matt and Mandy's friend Aubrey is getting baptized. How can they help her?
I think Matt and Mandy could help Audrey by giving her rights to church and other church activities, inviting her to their family home evenings, and giving her a copy of the Book of Mormon to study with her testimonies written inside. Annabelle T., age 9, Oklahoma, USA.
Matt and Mandy can help Audrey by being her friend. They can play with her and invite her to church activities.
Audrey might not have anyone to take her to church. Matt and Mandy can help Audrey by giving her support and being at her baptism. They can invite her to church activities such as activity days and invite her whole family to more family home evenings. Edwin and Eliza are ages 5 and 9, Utah, USA.
Matt and Mandy can help her by loving people and by helping her never do bad things. They could go to church with her. Evelyn H., age 4, Arizona, USA.
Help Audrey not be nervous by saying a prayer. Rocco D., page 7, California, USA.
One way to support a friend who gets baptized is to give friendship. Help them when they don't know something. You can also pray for them. Showing kindness and love to them will also help them feel supported. Gianna B., age 6, Florida, USA.
I would ask Audrey if she wants to do a scripture challenge with me so that she can feel the Holy Ghost. James B., age 8, Colorado, USA.
Pray for her to be comforted by the Holy Ghost and to feel welcome. Ella S., age 8, Virginia, USA.
Responses are intended for help and perspective, not as pronouncements of church doctrine. Next question. My friends sometimes use their phones to look at bad pictures. What should I do? Send us your answer and photo by November 30th. Email us at friend@ldschurch.org with question corner in the subject line. Use the permission statement on page 39. Read more answers on page 38. End of this month, Question Corner, read by David Shaw, Daniel McClellan, and Enzo, Chloe, Ocean, and Margot Patello.
You are super. Jesus Christ set a super example for us to follow. Jesus Christ set a super example for us to follow. As you grow up, you can work to become more like him. Cut out these reminders to keep or share with others. Fill in the last reminder with a goal of your own.
I can be super brave. The Lord needs us to be brave, steadfast, and immovable warriors who will defend his plan. Sister Bonnie L. Oscarson.
I am super loved. I know my Father lives and loves me too.
The Spirit whispers this to me and tells me it is true. Children's Songbook, page 5.
I can be super grateful. Ask in prayer that God, by the power of the Holy Ghost, will help us see our blessings clearly, even in the midst of our trials. President Henry B. Eyring.
I can be super kind. As we arise each morning, let us determine to respond with love and kindness to whatever might come our way. President Thomas S. Monson.
I can be super patient. Courageously trust the Lord's promises and His timing. President Dieter F. Uchtdorf.
I can be super, fill in the blank. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Philippians 4:13.
End of the article, You Are Super, read by Daniel McClellan, Wes and Shannon Nelson, and Enzo, Chloe, and Margot Patello.
First things first. Why do you put the tithing check on the refrigerator door? By Jane McBride Choate, based on a true story. I'm glad to pay a tithing. Children's Songbook, page 150. Kai noticed that every other Friday, Dad put a check on the refrigerator door.
What's that?
Kai asked.
It's our tithing check. I put it there to remind us that tithing comes first.
He put a magnet over the corner of the check.
I get paid every second Friday. The first check I write is for tithing.
Even before the house payment?
Kai knew his parents made a payment for the house every month. One time Dad had told him that if they didn't pay it, they could get in trouble with the bank.
Even before that. Mom and I have always put tithing first. That's one way of showing how important Heavenly Father is to us.
Kai thought about it.
What if you don't have enough money to pay tithing?
I've found that if you pay tithing first, the money works out, or you find a way to do without.
Kai remembered the time the car broke down. They didn't have the money to fix it right away, but Dad said he didn't mind walking to work for a few weeks.
Wouldn't Heavenly Father understand if you had to pay your tithing late?
Heavenly Father understands everything about our lives. But when your mom and I were sealed in the temple, we made promises to the Lord and to ourselves. We decided that we would always pay our tithing first, before anything else.
Kai thought of the allowance he got every week. Sometimes he forgot to pay tithing on it for a week or two. He thought about the money he earned mowing lawns around the neighborhood. It wasn't a lot, since he was only 11, but he decided right then to pay his tithing first, just like his parents did. From then on, every time Kai earned any money, he set aside his tithing before spending even one penny. Many years later, Kai had a family of his own, and just like Dad had done, he put his tithing check up on the refrigerator door as soon as he was paid. The author lives in Colorado, USA.
Sidebar. Today at church, I paid my tithing. I also decided to use almost half of my babysitting money for humanitarian aid and the General Missionary Fund. I remember that the prophet said that if you can't go on a mission right now, you can send your dollars on a mission. Since I'm still young and can't go on a mission, I will send my dollars on a mission. Victoria B., age 12, Alberta, Canada.
End of the story, First Things First. Read by Natalie and Scott Moore, Wes Nelson, and Maya Reinwand.
Answers from an Apostle. How can I be a disciple of Jesus Christ? By Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. We are disciples when we act as Jesus' hands here upon the earth and serve His children. Try sharing your love with people around you. You could call them, write them a note, or visit them. We can all bless the lives of others. Adapted from The Joyful Burden of Discipleship, Ensign May, 2014, pages 9 through 11. End of the section, Answers from an Apostle. Read by Dwayne Case.
Book of Mormon Hero, Mormon Remembered. Mormon was only a teenager when he was put in charge of the Nephite armies. When he was 24 years old, he wrote on metal plates about the Nephites. He also wrote the words of other prophets. He wrote about people making hard choices and about when Jesus visited the earth. Because of Mormon, we can read those stories now. Before he died, he gave the plates to his son Moroni to keep writing.
My friend's teacher is not a member of our church. I gave her a Book of Mormon with my testimony in it. I told her she should read it because it is one of my favorite books and it is really great. I know that when we share the gospel with others, we can help build Heavenly Father's kingdom on earth. Abby W., age 10, Utah, USA. End of the section, Book of Mormon Hero. Read by Scott Moore and Maya Reinwand.
I can remember. Memorize Mormon chapter 1, verse 15. Write in a journal about a time when you learned something about the gospel. Ask a parent or other family member about a time when they learned something about the gospel. I challenge myself to... Book of Mormon Stories. Mormon's son Moroni wrote an invitation for everyone to read the scriptures and pray to know if the words are true. He said that all good things come from Jesus Christ. Joseph Smith prayed to know what was true, and Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ visited him in the sacred grove. Look for another reading challenge next month. You can print more copies at friend2016bom.lds.org. The art contributor for Book of Mormon Hero, Mormon Remembered, was Miles M., age 11, Arizona, USA.
Happy Sabbath. Ready, set, charades. One of the fun things about learning something new is sharing it with others. Here's an activity you can do with your family to share what you learned at church. 1. Have everyone in your family bring a pencil and paper to church. 2. Write down words or ideas about what you learn. 3. When you get home, write the words on slips of paper. Put them in a bowl or jar. 4. Have one member of the family pick a slip of paper and act out the word. 5. The other members of the family try to guess what's being acted out. When someone guesses correctly, it's another person's turn. As you take turns, talk about what you learned about these words. End of the section, Happy Sabbath, read by Gabriel Reinwand.
Faithful Friends, by Lindy G. and Isla P., both age 11, Idaho, USA. A true story written by you. When we play together, we bring our faith in God book and scriptures. We work on our goals and help each other learn and understand things. This has helped us complete our Faith in God book very quickly and has helped us have fun doing the achievements together. Doing this has helped us prepare for young women and has strengthened our testimonies.
When we have play dates, we like to pretend that our dolls are missionary companions. Doing this helps us be missionaries now and prepares us for missions when we're older. End of the article, Faithful Friends, read by Maya and Eden Reinwand.
For Older Kids, Parker's Big Problem, by Breanne Richards, based on a true story. I, Nephi, being exceedingly young, nevertheless being large in stature, did cry unto the Lord, and behold, he did visit me. 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 16. Parker bent his knees a little as he stood against the height chart in P.E., "Please be shorter," he pleaded and sighed. "Stand up straight," his P.E. teacher said. Parker sighed and straightened his knees. "You've sure grown this year," his teacher said. "You're 5'9", or 1.75 meters. Parker groaned. He'd grown another 2 inches, or 5 centimeters, in just the last month. Most of his friends were a lot shorter than he was. He was only 10. It was embarrassing. After P.E., Parker walked back to his classroom and sat down at his desk. His knees didn't fit underneath, and they banged loudly against the metal. The kids sitting nearby started laughing. At recess, Parker's friends played on the monkey bars. They all swung easily across, but Parker's toes dragged on the ground, and it wasn't much fun. During soccer, Parker kept tripping over himself. Everyone else ran quickly across the field. Parker stopped and watched as they ran farther away. He sighed. Why did his body feel so awkward? It felt slow and clumsy. Frustrated, Parker walked to a tetherball court and started swinging the ball around. At least this was easier now that he was taller and stronger. He unwound the ball and hit it harder and harder until it started swinging up toward the sky.
"Hey,"
a teacher said.
Don't hit the ball that hard. You could break the rope.
Parker froze. He didn't think he was doing anything wrong. Teachers always expected him to act older just because he was tall. The bell rang to come in. His friend Lucas waved at him on the way back from playing soccer.
Where'd you go?
He asked.
I didn't want to play anymore, I guess.
Parker said as he sat down in his chair. He almost fell over because he was so much bigger than it was.
Hey, Parker, you're supposed to sit in the chair.
Parker felt his cheeks get red. Luckily, no one else saw. But then he saw Mrs. Warner looking at him. She started walking toward him.
Parker,
she said,
would you come with me, please?
Parker's heart started to pound. He really hadn't done anything wrong this time. He followed Mrs. Warner into the hallway.
You sure have grown a lot lately,
she smiled.
You're taller than I am now.
Parker frowned.
I'm sorry,
he said. Mrs. Warner's forehead wrinkled.
Sorry? Don't ever be sorry for being tall.
But I'm so big now. It's awkward.
I know it's hard. When I was young, I was always the smallest kid in my class. I hated how everyone else was taller and stronger.
Really? But you're not short anymore.
Mrs. Warner laughed.
Exactly. Most of your friends are like I was. They haven't grown yet. You just beat them to it.
Is it really okay to be tall?
Parker wondered.
Now, I called you out here to ask you something. How do you like your chair?
It's kind of small.
She smiled.
Let's get you a bigger desk and chair.
Thank you,
Parker said. The next day, Parker walked into his classroom. In his spot was a full-size desk and chair. It was all the class could talk about.
Why does Parker get a bigger desk?
I wish I was tall.
I want one.
Parker sat down in his chair. He fit, and his knees didn't bang against it. He liked having a bigger desk. Maybe being tall wasn't so bad after all. End of the story, Parker's Big Problem. Read by Wes Nelson, Scott Moore, Jane Wise, Kristen Hawkins, Eden Reinwand, and Margot Patello.
It's good to be me. Trees, fruits, flowers, and animals are all different shapes, colors, and sizes. Heavenly Father made people different, too. We grow at different speeds and blossom at different times. You can feel good about who you are and what makes you special. Use your answers from the questions below to draw a picture that represents you. If my body were a plant, I'd be a short bonsai, B, tall redwood, C, round cactus, or D, a wispy willow. Thinking about flowers, my hair is most like a yellow dandelion, B, brown cattail, C, black hollyhock, D, orange poppy. When it comes to friends, I, A, hang with a bunch like a banana, B, am fine solo like a watermelon, C, stick with a buddy like a cherry, D, love attention like a dragon fruit. Out of all these animals, I'm most like a sleepy sloth, B, galloping horse, C, flying canary, D, swinging monkey. To see some fun pictures we drew, go to page 36 in this issue. Now send us what you drew. Turn to page 39 to see how. End of the article, It's Good to Be Me. Read by Maya Reinwand.
Fun stuff! Puzzle time! What is the absolute best thing you can put into a pie? To find out, fill in the boxes that contain letters in the word giving. Then write the remaining letters from left to right in the blanks provided on page 37. Modern day mystery. Samantha was reading in her journal and came across this entry. 2 days ago, I was 8 years old. Next year, I can't wait to turn 11. She didn't make a mistake in her math. How is this possible? Answer on page 39. Olive squares. Carter has arranged his olives on his plate in a most spectacular way. How many squares can you make by connecting the lines between olives? Hint, not all the squares are the same size. And think diagonally. Answer on page 39. End of the section, Fun Stuff Puzzle Time, read by Matthew Moore.
Matt and Mandy. Wow, You guys sent us a ton of ideas for helping our friend Audrey after her baptism. And many of you had the same great ideas.
Every new member needs friends so they won't feel lost or alone. Sadie S., age 8, in Washington, USA, said, "It would be hard for Audrey to be alone in church, so offer her a ride and sit by her during church." Julian M., age 6, Utah, USA, said, "Invite Audrey and her mom to sit with your family in sacrament meeting."
New members are still learning about church standards, like keeping the Sabbath day holy. Landry T., age 11, Texas, USA, said, "Invite Audrey and her family over for Sunday dinner. Share a spiritual thought or maybe a nice Sunday activity, like family history." Mark D., age 7, Utah, USA, said, "Help Audrey find the right kinds of clothes to wear for church."
Lots of things are new to people who have just joined the church. Things we take for granted. Marin R., age 10, Iowa, USA, said, "When Audrey goes to primary, make sure she understands everything." Cameron G., age 7, Utah, USA, said, "There are a lot of scripture stories Audrey needs to know. Help her by sharing your favorite scripture heroes."
Lots and lots of you reminded us to pray for Audrey.
And to help her by making sure she has her own copy of the scriptures and by inviting her to read them with us.
Thanks, everyone. These are good reminders for all of us.
Read more answers on page 23.
End of this month's installment of Matt and Mandy, read by Matthew Moore and Maya Reinwand.
Stop and flip through your eyes.
One morning, our mom woke us up early and was excited to show us this gorgeous sunrise. We are so grateful Heavenly Father makes the most beautiful scenery just to make us happy. Josie, Vivian, Mariel, and Natalie F., ages 9, 11, 11, and 6, California, USA.
How to write to the friend. To send us a letter, drawing, or poem, 1. Fill out the form below and send it in with your story or artwork. 2. Send a school picture or other high-resolution photo. 3. We might edit your submission for length or clarity, and we can't return it to you. 4. You must be at least 3 years old. The Last Laugh. In this month's Last Laugh, a young boy has built a complicated railroad system designed to carry a laundry basket up the stairs. His sister asks him,
"Wouldn't it be faster to, you know, just carry your laundry upstairs?"
End of Stop and Flip, read by David Shaw and Maya Reinwand.
For parents of little ones. Looking forward to becoming an older brother or sister can be exciting. And then baby arrives, and it isn't all that playful. Envy kicks in, and before you know it, big sister asks how long baby sister is staying. The gift and challenge of siblings is one way Heavenly Father helps young children grow. You might expect some meltdowns as your oldest deals with mixed feelings, but a few nudges from you can help them rise to their new role. 4 ways to build happy sibling relationships. Quell jealousy. Sometimes the older child has to wait while you feed or change the baby. Remember to turn it around sometimes, too. "Baby, you're going to have to wait on your blanket for a minute while I help your brother." Baby won't understand, but brother will. Provide an example. Display a picture of Jesus in your home and explain that He is our elder brother. He can teach us everything we need to know about loving our family. Recruit an ally. Give your older child jobs, like policing the family's noise level during nap time or fetching bath time supplies. If sister has responsibilities, she'll feel important instead of stifled by all the changes. Practice, practice, practice. Ask brother to practice teaching his teddy bear to eat with a spoon. Give gentle hugs, smell flowers, or read board books. Then he'll be ready to teach when baby is ready to learn. Help him now to see his valued place as a mentor. You can read past letters at friendflo.lds.org. End of the article, For Parents of Little Ones, read by Kristen Hawkins.
Big Sister Madeline by Jennifer Maddy. Mommy sniffed and coughed. She blew her nose. Madeline, I am sick. I need your help with baby Jason today. Madeline wanted to be a good helper. She held baby Jason carefully and gave him a bottle. She made Jason laugh and smile while Mommy changed his diaper. When Jason wiped carrots all over his face, Madeline cleaned him with a soft towel. While Jason was napping, Mommy had a rest too. Madeline brought her a blanket. "Thank you for helping today," Mommy said. Madeline smiled. She liked being Big Sister Madeline. End of the story, Big Sister Madeline, by Jennifer Maddy. Read by Kate Strongen. Book of Mormon Stories. Mormon writes on the golden plates. Many prophets wrote on the golden plates. They wrote about Jesus Christ and about how to keep the commandments. But many people forgot Jesus Christ and didn't follow him anymore. A righteous man named Amron hid the golden plates so they would be safe. He told a boy named Mormon where the plates were hidden. He told Mormon to write on the plates when he was older. When Mormon was 15 years old, Jesus Christ visited him and taught him about the gospel. Mormon tried to teach the people about Jesus, but they wouldn't listen. When Mormon got older, he got the plates. He wrote about Jesus Christ. He wrote that we can repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. Mormon had a son named Moroni. Mormon told his son to always remember how much Jesus Christ loves us. We can remember how much Jesus loves us, too. End of the section, Book of Mormon Stories. Mormon writes on the golden plates. Read by Kate Strongen. Henry and the Corn Maze by Holly Carter, based on a true story. Henry and his friends were excited to visit a farm. First, they played in the pumpkin patch.
"Look at that big pumpkin,"
Henry called.
"And there's a little baby one,"
Adeline said. Then they went to see the goats and chickens.
"The chicks are so fuzzy,"
Peyton said. Next, it was time to ride the train.
"All aboard,"
Mom said. The train chugged past horses and apple trees. It chugged past a big roll of hay that looked like a pig. The train stopped at the corn maze.
"Hooray!"
Henry said. This was the best part. They followed a sign into the corn maze. Trails were everywhere. Some trails led to other trails. Some trails just ended. Henry and his friends walked and walked. After a while, they all felt tired.
"How do we get out of the maze?"
Henry asked.
"I'm not sure," Mom said.
Henry couldn't see over the corn stalks. His heart beat fast. Maybe they were lost.
"Let's say a prayer," Mom said.
"Okay."
He bowed his head.
"Heavenly Father, please help us to get out of the corn maze."
After he said,
"Amen,"
Henry felt warm and happy. Soon Henry heard someone shout,
"Here's the way out."
Henry knew Heavenly Father helped them. At bedtime, Henry said a prayer. He thanked Heavenly Father for helping him. He smiled. It felt good to know that Heavenly Father loved him and that Heavenly Father could always hear him pray, even in a corn maze. The author lives in Alabama, USA.